This is the Week in Reading List from Money Talking. Hello, I'm Charlie Herman. With me, Joan Osair with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And this week, I'm reading The New York Times Magazine cover story, Is Giving the Secret to Getting Ahead? It's a profile of Adam Grant. He's described as the youngest tenured and highest rated professor at Wharton. No, I'm not jealous. And he's an organizational psychologist. He studies workplace dynamics. And he has a new book that's coming out called Give and Take. And the idea is that maybe the way that employees can be motivated to work harder, and that it's not just money and it's not just, you know, career advancement, but that it's the idea of motivating people to help others, that the sense that you're actually contributing to other people's lives by mentoring, by teaching, by just trying to find ways to make the rest of the world better might actually be a better way to motivate people and to get better results out of them for a business. It's interesting to see whether or not that's actually possible to do in a workplace, but that's what his book is about. Rana, what are you reading this weekend?
Well, I'm going to shock all of you by telling you I'm reading something in a conservative publication, National Affairs, and it's an article entitled Overstating the Costs of Inequality by Scott Winship, who's a fellow at the Brookings Institute. I'm very interested in the topic of inequality and the economic cost of inequality. It's something I've been writing about for a while, and you know, it's generally a topic that liberals kind of own, and he's not arguing that inequality doesn't exist or hasn't been growing. In fact, you know, we can all agree that inequality is up quite a lot in the last few decades. But he's making some interesting arguments about how the research that we've heard so much about how inequality decreases social mobility and slows economic growth and can actually cause imbalances that eventually lead to financial crises is not quite right, and that there are different lenses to look at all of these studies through. And so I'm reading it carefully. I'm actually going to give him a call, I think, and talk about it. And I encourage everybody else to as well.
I'd be curious to see, like, is there some point at which it does become a problem? I mean, if you look at developing countries where there's a huge gulf, you know, is it a little bit of income equality is okay, but a lot is not?
What's fascinating, you bring up the key point, and he makes this point very persuasively that most of the research that's been done on inequality has looked at developing countries, or much of it. And he's saying that actually the dynamics are so different in a rich country like the U.S. that a lot of that research just isn't comparable. So it's an interesting point.
Joe, what are you reading?
Well, a few weeks ago in my column, I quoted a fellow named Eric Redman, who is an alternative power executive on the West Coast. And it turns out, I was told as I was reporting the column, that this is the same Eric Redman who in 1973 wrote a classic work called The Dance of Legislation. He was an aide to, I think, Senator Magnuson of Washington State at the time. So I downloaded the book. I haven't read it yet, although I did read it a very, very long time ago. And the reason I'm interested in it is because the book, as I recall it, is so much about the give and take of legislation, the horse trading, the compromising. And I'm kind of curious to see if I read it again through the prism of the era that we live in, whether it will seem like it comes from a different age and a different time and barely even the same country. That's what I'm hoping to find out. Besides which, it's a wonderfully written work.
Well, it's funny if you think about what I'm reading this week and also about a book called Give and Take and the idea of, you know, was there something back then where people... You know, legislators felt motivated, even though they had their own constituents that they were trying to help, of maybe I help you, you help me, we can get something done, and whether or not that's been lost in a way.
I actually think it has something to do with what Ron is reading about, which is, you know, I firmly believe that the polarization in the country and the anger in the country is a direct result of income inequality, mm-hmm. even though many of the angriest people don't see that themselves and don't realize that is the source, the root source of their anger.
Whether they're at the bottom quintile or the top.
Yes.
Yeah, I tend to
agree.
Or
they don't have a job and, you know, they join the Tea Party and they elect congressmen who are as angry as they are.
Well, if you want to join us and read these stories this weekend as well, let us know what you think about them. Leave a comment on the website or talk to us at Twitter at Money Talking. And if you have suggestions for what you think we should check out, please be sure to let us know. We'd love to hear them. And don't forget, you can download the podcast of Money Talking for free, available on iTunes. This week, Joe and Rana weigh in on whether the housing market recovery is here to stay. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Joan Osair with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.